Hey everyone, and welcome to the Greater Than Podcast. My name is Elijah Merle. So honored and blessed that you've taken out the time to join us again today. Whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Breaker, all the different platforms, we're so honored and blessed you've taken out the time to join us again on another podcast for Greater Than Podcast. I'm so excited about it. Today we have Matthew Ochoa. Did I say that right, Matthew?
Yes, you did.
Did I drop the ball?
You got
okay. It right.
Okay,
listen, we recorded this earlier and I had to stop because I had some technical difficulties. Totally butchered his name though. So, but this time we got it right. So praise the Lord
for that.
So excited to have Matthew on the podcast. Really blessed by his ministry. I know you guys will be as well. Deep Rooted Ministries, he and his lovely wife and what they do in California area. We'll have him talk about that here in a little bit. But today we're going to talk about grace and faith. Oh, what a good topic of discussion. I tell you, listen, this is a multi-part one, right? But we're not going to cover everything. So don't send any letters like, you didn't get to this, you didn't get to that. You do realize this is one of the biggest subjects in the whole Bible. So we will not cover everything. But by the grace of Hasid, we will touch on a few pivotal things that people need to hear in this particular podcast. It's what we're believing for. And that's what we'll have happen. So, Matthew, sir, if you will, just tell everybody about yourself. Give us a little brief history, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dig right on in. Actually, let me do that first. Let's pray first, and then I'll let you tell us your history real quick. Father God, we acknowledge you, sir. We ask you to direct our path, the path of this podcast. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather around your word about faith and grace. We ask you, Lord, for this opening up our eyes where grace and faith is concerned, and show us, Father, from the word, what it is that we haven't seen before and how to appropriate these things that you've provided for us. We give you praise for that. We say, speak, Lord, for your servants here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Brother Matthew, tell us about yourself, sir, and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, like you said, my name is Matthew Ochoa, and me and my wife, Stephanie, are the founders of Deep Rooted Ministries. It started off as a little Bible study in my parents' upstairs room, and it just started growing and growing, and Stephanie and I eventually got married, and we brought it into our home. And what led a Bible study into our home, it led into what we have here. We just purchased our first property out of many. We're already professing that we're going to get more buildings, more property, but we have our first building right here in the heart of our little city, Visalia, California. And we've just been operating over a month here publicly, and it's been great. We've seen new faces, new people, and God's been doing really amazing things just in the short few weeks we've been here. But I was born and raised in the church. The church that I was attending is the biggest church in our city, and it's a little over 3,000 people. And I've been there my whole life since my mother's womb, actually. And I've always been a church kid and grew up, you know, went to high school, and you know, you did your own little thing in high school. You had your own friends, your own clique, and kind of didn't want anything to do with the Lord or nothing like that. I never disowned God, never disowned Christianity, but just kind of like wanted to do my own thing, do my own life. And it wasn't till I went into college. I went to this Bible college that our church was having, and it was a really low discounted tuition to go to this college compared to regular university. So I went ahead to do it, and it was a leadership school. We learned a lot about the Bible. And that's where Stephanie and I started dating, my wife. So our dating relationship started at this Bible college. And then 2 years into Bible college, we both felt the Lord telling us, you know, this is great and it was a good season, but now I got something for you and I want you to do something. And after that, we both dropped out and started that Bible study in my parents' house. And one thing led to another, and now we're here. But the grace of God has been all over my life. It's been a title over my life. And everything that I can think of that's happened to me, everything that I've experienced, every good thing that's happened has been solely because of the grace of God. Nothing less, nothing more. And my wife, actually, she is a living proof of the grace of God for me, because she was someone who was so pure, so innocent growing up in school, and always went to church, always had good morals, good ethics. And here's me over here doing whatever I wanted in high school, having these wrong friends, doing all this stuff, and thinking, man, this girl's never going to like me. She's perfect. And look at me. And little did I know, the grace of God was operating in her, and she loves me for who I was. And because of it, it's encouraged me to become a better person, a better man, a better minister, a better husband, and all that stuff. So I thank God every day for my wife above everything, because she is the living proof of the grace of God. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. And so as we get into this, man, what better place to start than Ephesians 2 verse 8, as
amen.
We talk about the things of grace and faith. And And we'll start here, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Matthew, and we're going to talk about what is grace. We're just going to talk about it a little bit. I got a couple of notes here, and I know Brother Matthew has as well. Just stay hooked with us, man. There's some truth here that will help us, and that'll get us to a next level in Him, in Christ. And so let's begin here in Ephesians 2:8. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Now, there's been a lot of teaching on faith, a lot of teaching on grace. What we're endeavoring to do is the title of the episode, I wanted to title it, if I may be so bold, Perfectly Balanced, because these things need to be perfectly balanced. Grace and faith needs to be this perfect balance. It's I'm reminded of two things. Number one, I like Marvel movies. I'm reminded of Thanos. Thanos said that on Avengers Infinity War. He said that, and he said perfectly balanced is all things should be. That's the first thing I remember that comes to mind. And secondly, I'm reminded of Saturday morning commercials, and the commercials for cereal. And they would always say a part of this balanced breakfast,
right?
You remember that, of course. So a part of a balanced breakfast. And so I think of those two things as we talk about grace and faith here. Let's have a balanced, let's have it perfectly balanced as all things should be.
Right.
Let's have a balanced breakfast here. Let's make sure that we're on the middle of the road where these things are concerned. Like I said, we don't know it all. We don't see it all. We know in part. And the Apostle Paul said that. Now, the Apostle Paul said we know in part. What does that say about me and you, the listeners? What does that say about us? We know part of the part, you know? And so we don't know everything. We don't see everything. But by the grace of God, we can look at some things and let the Spirit of God paint a picture in our hearts that'll carry us into the next season. So, Brother Matthew, when you hear about grace and faith, what comes to mind here as we begin to look into this thing?
Well, that's a loaded question, Elijah. Loaded question.
It sure is.
Let me start here from the book of Genesis, and we'll read all the way to Revelation. No.
Oh, man, I tell you, that's how you start it.
Yeah. No, when I think of grace and faith, the thing that I think about the most is table salt. Because the two ingredients that are in table salt is sodium and chloride. And they're both separate ingredients. But too much of sodium will kill you. And too much of chloride will kill you. But when you put them together, when you put them in the same, I guess, body, they become table salt, which is essential for living. You need salt to live. And so when I think of grace and faith, I just think it operates like that, and how you need to have that perfect balance. Like you said, we have to have that perfect balance of grace and faith, not just grace and not just faith. Because I know there's a ton of people that because of denominations and because of people thinking they're right and others are wrong and all that, we have different denominations, we have different theories, different doctrines, all throughout the body of Christ. And you have what I call the extreme grace group, and then you have extreme faith group. And here at Deep Rooted, we're grace ministers, amen. We're people who we minister grace. Nothing you can do can make God not love you. You're never too far away from the Lord. Like, God is always there, ready to forgive, ready to offer you His salvation, everything that He has. But just because we preach grace doesn't mean we're solely camped out in the grace camp and there's no faith. Because if you have no faith, then you have no proof of what you believe. And there's the grace, the extreme grace people, or I tend to put them as like people who just say whatever happens, happens. I used to, when I went to school with a couple of buddies of mine, I'm still good friends with them today, but they were very grace-based people. And we would go traveling with each other, or they would go out of town driving on a trip, and they would always say, yep, we're going to be driving down south to LA about 2.5 hours. And I'd say, all right, well, pray that you get there safe. And they all say, well, God willing. And I'm like, what do you mean God willing? Yeah. Like, God is willing that you're going to be there safe. And they're like, you never know. Whatever happens, happens. And I'm like, all right, that I guess that if that if that's what you want to believe there. But those are the people who just, they just, whatever happens, you know, God's in control of everything. We have no say, and just whatever happens, que sera, sera.
Yeah.
And then the faith ones, the faith people are the types that really try to twist God's arm. They fast for 40 days and they start these 1,000 group prayer chains to get God to move and shake the nation.
It's true.
And they try to basically persuade God to bless us. And there's no operating in grace there. There's no accepting that the finished work of Jesus has already appropriated every good thing we'll need. So we don't have to rend the heavens and shake down everything and all that. So those are the extremes. And like I said, too much of one in your life and just being an extreme grace or extreme faith, it won't be good for you because there's no balance there. If you just let whatever happens, happens, then there's no resisting. And the Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee. So
that's right.
If you're passive, you're going to get destroyed. But then on the faith spectrum, if all you think is it's all about you, you about you doing these works, you doing this, that leads to self-righteousness. And if you're self-righteous, then you're not going to receive the grace. And without the grace, you're going to get destroyed as well. So you need them both. True. You need them both balanced.
No, it's so true. It's a true thing. The grace of God is... if I had to define it, it's hard to define it, right? I mean, like I said, we're basically doing is scratching the surface, if that even, you know, we're just like scratching the very, very surface of this thing. But grace of God, in Galatians 6:18, I use a different verse to kind of talk about the grace of God. And a lot of people don't use this verse, but this is the verse that the Lord's ministered to me about in Galatians 6:18, talking about grace here and defining it really quick and what it is. Like I said, a whole lot more to it than this, but this is what I've seen. Galatians 6:18. This is the New King James again. It says, brethren, and Paul's, he's ending his letter here to the church of Galatia. He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Another translation says, may the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, be flowing in your spirit. So shall it be in Messiah's love. The Young's literal translation, which is a very good translation, it kind of talks backwards, but to them, the people of that time, we would be talking backwards. The way we talk is backwards. So the literal translation is this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit, brethren. And when he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's denoting the Savior's loving kindness, not only effectual in making a guilty soul acceptable to God. I mean, if it was just that, that's amazing. That's enough. If it was only that in making a guilty soul where it's now acceptable to God through the atonement, but also purifies from sin and endowing and enduring with spiritual strength and securing the final salvation. It endows us with spiritual strength and secures the final salvation. He says here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit. That word with, the Hebrew Septuagint is means to be present to help. So let's read it like that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is present to help you. We know in Hebrews, right? Come boldly to the throne of grace.
Right.
Where you receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Galatians, I said that this is a Hebrew word here, with the Hebrew Septuagint meaning present to help. A couple examples of that is Genesis 21, verse 22. It says about Abraham, God is with you in all that you do. And we know Abraham is our father and our father in the faith. It says that God is with you in whatever you do. Judges 6, verse 12, talking about Gideon here. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." What was said to Mary, to call Jesus, call his name Emmanuel in Matthew 1:23, which is translated God with us. And we see in Corinthians that Jesus is the grace of God. That's who grace is. It's a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man full of grace and truth, and of his fullness we receive. So what is the grace of God to me? Well, Elijah, how would you define it really quickly? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is just him being present to help, him being present to help you in whatever situation, whatever it is you're going through. It's that thing that you receive once you're born again. You receive this grace that's present to help your spirit, that's present to get you to the next level, that's present in a time of need, seasonable help in whatever you face. And so I think a lot of times people are like, well, cool. I mean, so then help, Lord, but they don't want to do anything. That's like me asking Brother Matthew to help me move something, and I'm sitting down saying, all right, Matthew, help me move it, sir. I mean, what should I should say, just do it for me, Matt. That's what I should say, because if I'm asking him to help me, that means I'm going to do something. So that's where faith comes in. In order to receive this help, this grace, it requires faith on our part. Would you want to speak into that, Brother Matthew?
Yeah, absolutely. Just bouncing off that. And I always go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. And I've been reading out of the New King James lately, but the King James, it defines this scripture so perfectly, because Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." And the New King James Version says, "God's dealt to every man a measure of faith." And I feel like a lot of people, and other translations too, will say God's given a measure of faith to each person, or and so on. And so people have this misunderstanding that they think that some people have more faith than others, right? And I've been under this deception a long time ago. And there's still people today who they question our teaching. They question what I have to say. And they say, well, what makes you better than me? What makes your faith better than my faith? I'm like, that's the wrong question. Like, we all have the same faith, according to Romans, that God's given every man the measure of faith. And so you look at the very beginning of that scripture. What did Paul, what did Paul receive? It was grace. The grace given to me. Don't think yourself that you're higher than others, because we all have the same faith and we've all been given the same grace. And I love that, because when you really relate grace to something that's undeserved, Andrew Womack describes grace as God's undeserved, unmerited favor in your life. And I love that, because it's 1000% undeserved and unmerited, meaning we didn't work for it. And that's why Paul's saying, be sober. Don't think you're higher, because you didn't do anything to receive that grace. God just did it for you. And with that measure of faith, well, what's the faith for? Because over back in Ephesians, it says, "For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God." And I always read scriptures differently whenever I'm trying to study them. You can read it like, "For by grace are you saved through faith," or you can say, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Whatever you emphasize, it's going to be important to you. And so I always take it, and I go, "And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God." Well, what's the it? Is it the grace or is it the faith? And from what scripture shows me, from Romans, grace was given to him and faith was given to him. So grace and faith are both the gift. And how do you work That's them good. Together? How do you work them together? And like you said, if you're sitting down and you ask me to help you move this couch, but you're doing nothing, it's better just to tell me move the couch instead of asking for a help, right? And with grace and faith, it's like God has given us every spiritual blessing. The Bible says all spiritual blessings have been given to us. And so that's the grace. That's the grace part, undeserved, unmerited. So how do we get those blessings to manifest? How do we see our healing take place? How do we see prosperity come back into our life? And that's where faith comes in. And you look all through scripture, all through the Old Testament, even the New Testament, that faith always responded to grace. Grace never told, or faith never told grace what to do. Grace told faith what to do. And because if you don't understand grace, you're going to just work yourself to the bone and be tired and think you have to work to get grace. But what happens is because you've been given the grace, you now work to respond to it. And I always look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so you walk in him, rooted and built up, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So as you've received Christ, how did we receive Christ? Mm-hmm. We received them by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. Well, that's grace through faith. We believed in Jesus. We believed in the grace. And the faith was, I believe in Jesus. That's the faith. And so the same way we received him, that's how we do everything else in life. And, you know, salvation, I believe, is the most grand miracle we could ever see in our life. You can be healed. You can see prosperity. You can see all those things. But a person becoming born again is the greatest miracle ever to happen on the earth. And if all it takes to receive a miracle is grace and faith, believing in your heart, thanking Jesus for what he did, and confessing that with your mouth, then we should do everything else in grace and faith, by grace through faith. Yeah. So, like I said earlier, living a faith alone, a faith extreme mindset will start to produce like that self-righteous mentality. And it'll really cause a lot of harm in your life. And likewise with grace, it'll cause a lot of harm if you don't understand and acknowledge both at play in your life, you know?
No, it's true. It's true. I love this. The Lord's giving us good things, guys. You guys listen to the podcast, man. I tell you, the Lord's helping us and speaking beyond us already, man. I love the revelation that's coming forth. And this thing about faith, I'll just tag on here with that. What we said in Hebrews 4:15 through 16, right? We do not have a high priest who can't be touched with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, in light of that, come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, come boldly to the throne of grace. Keep that in your mind. Boldly and the throne of grace. Okay. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mm-hmm. So there's grace, right? You can come. You can come on in. It's like a dad who runs a corporation. Like, you can come in boldly because you're a son. The Bible says we've been accepted in the beloved. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done. So, but he says, how are we to come in, though? We're supposed to come in boldly. And Hebrews 10:19-23 says this, having therefore boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way, which he consecrated through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Watch this. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. There's the faith right there. So we see the grace there in Hebrews 4. We see the faith here in Hebrews 10. Mm-hmm. We have boldness. We have this confidence. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence. It's being persuaded of something. Mm-hmm. It's having a persuasion. But what are we persuaded about, though? We're persuaded about what God did in Jesus.
Exactly.
That's where the persuasion is. We're not persuaded in, okay, my ability to believe for this or to believe for that. I'm persuaded in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, what God did in Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. Right. I'm convinced of the truth of the reality that God has done what everything that needs to be done. Would you want to speak into that, Brother Matthew?
No, absolutely. That is exactly what faith is in response to. Faith is a response to God's grace, and it's our responsibility to respond to that grace. We need to make sure that we have that faith. You know, going back to Galatians, you're reading in Galatians 6, well, just one chapter before that in Galatians 5, Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made you free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, people think that's referring to sin, but it's not. It says, I indeed, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify mm-hmm. again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law, but you've become estranged from Christ. In other words, another translation says, Christ has become no effect to you. Yeah. It says, you who are tempted to be justified by the law, you've fallen from grace. Now, you probably, heard, if you're listening to the podcast, you probably heard that term, fallen from grace, from a pastor. Pentecostals believe that falling from grace is losing salvation and you're backslidden and whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the bondage, the yoke is referring to works and doing all that you can to get God to respond, doing everything so just God will just listen to you. And he's saying, you've been fallen from grace by justifying yourself in the law. In other words, living faith only and not receiving grace. And when you do that, you've fallen from grace. Joseph Prince, he preached a sermon on fallen from grace once. And he was talking about the story where the man was in the second story of a building and he fell asleep and fell down during Paul's message. And he related that to falling from grace. He said he was elevated at one point. He was listening to grace. Then he fell asleep and he fell from grace. And he had to be resurrected because he died. Because he fell from grace. And it's just incredible to understand that falling from grace, any one of us are susceptible to fall from grace. It doesn't mean you lose salvation. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean you're not worthy. All it means is you've stopped relying on the grace, and then you've only been doing things based off of faith and works. Because the Bible does say faith without works is dead. So how do we get that balance? Like, how do we see works without it becoming justifying by the law? Right. And, it's just going back to faith, understanding like faith doesn't move God. God's given us his faith. Paul says the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So we've been given the faith of God, and faith, it only appropriates what God provided through grace. If the Bible says by his stripes you are healed, well, faith doesn't sit on the couch anymore and soak up your sickness and woe is me. That's not what faith does. Mm-hmm. Faith sees I am healed, and it gets up and walks around as if you are healed. And that's works responding to the grace. It's not, I got to get up and move so that I will be healed. It's, I'm already healed, so I'm going to walk around in my healing, even if I don't feel it. I'm still going to acknowledge that I'm healed. So,
so good.
That's in a short sense, that's what grace and faith looks like. That's what that relationship looks like, is grace is God's provision, God's blessings, and faith is what appropriates that grace.
It's so true. I believe, the Bible talks about, Paul talks about here in Romans 2, verse 27, where is boasting then? It's excluded by what law? Is it of works? He says, no, but by the law of faith. He talks about the law of faith. He goes on to talk about, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now we see here, he said somewhere else that the strength of sin, 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it is somewhere in there.
Yep.
The strength of sin is the law.
Yep.
Is what he says. So the Lord said to me like this, if the strength of the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, the Torah, if the strength of that was sin, then what's the strength of the law of faith? Grace.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The strength of the law of faith is grace, just like the law of Moses, the strength of that was sin. This right. strength that we've received now in the law of faith is grace. It's all made possible by the grace of God. Hebrews 4:16, another great verse to talk about this. Hebrews 4:16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all.
Right.
Now he says here, according. That word according has a two-layered meaning. It means out from and to. Okay, which makes the outcome happen. This is really what it means. It's out of the depths of the source and extending to its impact on the object. So it's coming from a source and impacting an object or the outcome. So you can read it like this: for by it is of faith that the outcome may be grace.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. It is of faith that the outcome may be by grace. And we're talking right. about here the grace of the Lord. And what I believe it is the help of God, him being present to help you. That's what he said when
right.
that's what it meant when he says the grace of the Lord is present with your spirit, is present to help you. It says here it is of faith. So that's our part, right? That it might be according to grace. That's God's part.
Right.
It's a two-layered meaning, this word according. It comes out of, it originates out of the depths of a source, that source being grace, and extends and it impacts another object, that object being faith. It's like how electricity travels through certain objects, but there are other objects right. that it won't travel through. It's this mm-hmm. mixture thing. There has to be something that's conductive that it can travel through. So grace, the proper grace of God, because anything else that it preaches, anything looseness or anything like that, that's not the grace of God. That's lasciviousness, is right. what he said in Jude. They twist the grace of God mm-hmm. and turn it to that. But this thing that we're talking about, the real grace of God that's only found in Jesus, travels mm-hmm. through, and it can only impact those who have the right in faith, who have faith in God. But I love right. what Brother Matthew brought up. This faith isn't even our faith, though. It's the mm-hmm. faith of the Son of God. So even the faith that I've yep. got, just like he brought up with Ephesians 2:8, both of it, the grace and the faith, are both gifts from God. And so,
mm-hmm.
in other words, you don't have to try so hard in and of yourself. Because guess what? You can't do it.
Right.
You can't cut it. But it's the grace of God. You want to speak into anything, Brother Matthew?
Amen. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I have written down here in my notes how important it is for you to understand both of these factors of receiving grace and faith as a balance and not in and of themselves, by themselves and by your own works and efforts. I have written here how a self-righteous mind can kill you. And how do you get a self-righteous yeah. mind? Well, we just read it in Galatians that if you try to justify yourself by the law, you've fallen from grace. And that's a self-righteous mind. You see over in Exodus chapter 13, you see that God, after he's drawn his people out from Egypt, they're traveling and he's leading them by day, by a pillar of cloud, and by night, a pillar of fire. And you see the personal, intimate grace of God over the Israelites right then and there. He's with them.
Yeah.
He's leading them. He's making sure that nothing's going to happen. Chapter 14, we see that now the people are complaining. The Red Sea's here and they don't know how to get across it. And they're complaining and they're saying to Moses, we would have been better if you'd have left us there. You brought us out here to die. And what does God do? God shows them grace and he parts the Red Sea. You get to chapter 15. Then the people complain about having no water. Then God provides not just water, but sweet water. He provides grace. Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 16, they complain about no food. God supernaturally provides manna from heaven. The next chapter, they complain about no water again. God just provided water. And now they're complaining again. And so now God instructs Moses to strike a rock, and Moses strikes the rock, actually, and God provides water out of that rock. And then all of a sudden in chapter 19, they arrive to Mount Sinai. And God instructs Moses to go up into the mountain to talk to him. And for 40 days they're there, and he's getting instruction from the Lord. The Ten Commandments are being written here. And the first commandment that God says, he says not to make any idols, right?
Yeah.
But before he even said that, he tells the people, I'm going to make commandments. And what do the people respond? They respond and they say, whatever you tell us, we can do. And that goes to show me they didn't even let God give them the first instruction. And they said, whatever you say, I can do. And you know what? That reminds me of when I was in school, when I was like in elementary school or high school, the teacher, most likely elementary school, the teacher would need a volunteer. And before they would explain what the volunteer would do, every person would just shoot their hand straight up because they wanted to be the first. And the teacher would say, all right, you can come up. The first person to raise their hand becomes a volunteer, and they raise their hand. They're like, all right, since you're the volunteer, you get to clean the whole classroom now. And they didn't get a chance to hear what the actual thing was. And now they're stuck doing this dumb chore. And that reminded me of the people in Israel, of the Israelites. And they're just like, whatever you say, God, we can do. And what does God say? The first thing he says is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Moses is up there in the mountain. The people are getting weary because he's taking too long. And they say, let's build an idol. We don't know what else to do. Let's build an idol. And it showed me they didn't even keep the first commandment after they said, whatever you tell us, we can do. And that just showed that they had a self-righteous mindset of, we can do whatever you say. We're good enough people. We can keep the law. We can do whatever. And what happens in Exodus 32? 3,000 people were killed. 3,000 people were killed because of the sin of the of those people. And that just goes to show how you need to rely on God's grace. That was a faith extreme right there, knowing I can do it. I can keep everything. I can keep every law. I can, I'm good enough. But you need the grace because you're not good enough. You are not good enough to keep the whole law. You offend in one part, you offend in all. And then you go fast forward to Acts, in the first couple chapters of Acts, where Jesus is ascending to heaven. He tells the people, wait here till the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And they get the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is a great, great representation of God's grace, undeserved, unearned, unmerited, just given to us freely. And what happens then? 50 days after the death of Christ and the resurrection, 50 days from there is what we call Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday, 3,000 people were saved and were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you know what? When all those people died in the book of Exodus, that was 50 days from the Exodus of Egypt. 50 days later, on Pentecost Sunday, the law was established. Faith and self-righteousness was established. 3,000 died. But when Acts came, grace came. 50 days from Jesus' grace, people were saved, 3,000 of them. So you see how important it is to have grace in your life, along with that faith.
It's so good. Here's what I'm seeing here as we're talking here, even in this moment. I'm seeing that... grace, well, let's Ephesians 2:8, let's look at that again. It says,
okay,
for by grace you've been saved through faith. He doesn't put faith first.
Mm-mm.
He puts the grace first. He puts grace first, which is appropriate and which is right. So because it, one extreme or another, both sides, let's look at it this way. So if you're going with an extreme where grace is concerned, grace turns into looseness, lasciviousness. You know, it turns into this looseness. And but on the other hand, if you don't have grace with faith perfectly married, then faith turns into presumption. It turns into pride. It turns into something that it's not. So we need the two to be together, because what we see in Exodus is people who are trying to live by their own works, and not try endeavoring to do it. And what this is a perversion of faith, trying to live by your works. True faith in God is simply that, faith in God, faith in what he's done, faith in what he's appropriated, and what we appropriate by that faith in the grace of God. And what I'm seeing is, you mentioned Brother Joseph Prince. He said something that was pretty radical. As we begin to wrap this up, like I said, we can't cover everything. Don't get mad at us. We'll be here a long time. Don't get mad. All right. It's all good. I know you guys have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have as well. But he says here, Joseph Prince said this. Well, let's go to Mark first. Let's read this first. And then I'll say that what Brother Joseph brought out. But as we turn over to Mark 5, I'm going to read Mark 9, 21 through 24. And we said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with your spirit, in Galatians 6, verse 18. That with literally means to present to help. And we see in Mark 9, the son who was demon possessed is brought before Jesus. And the father says to him, if you can do anything, have compassion on us, watch this, and help us. He's asking for help. He's asking for grace. Have compassion. That's compassionate being the Greek word splachisomai. It literally means to be moved in the inward parts. I love to say it like this. Compassion is a mix of love and hate. It's a love for a person and hatred against whatever it is that's affecting them, whatever it is that's causing pain, causing strife. It's a mixture of love and hate. And he asked him to have compassion on him and help him. And Jesus said, watch this, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. But watch the father's response. I love this. This little boy's father, what he says here, Lord, I believe. Watch this. Help my unbelief. He's still got help on his mind. Well, what is he doing? He's falling on. Well, let me say it like this. Joseph Prince said it this way. When you see Jesus in his grace, he will see you in your faith. I'm going to say that again. Good. When you see Jesus in his grace, he will then see you in your faith. This man saying, Lord, I believe, watch this, help my unbelief. See, there's humility. And what do the humble get according to James 4? They get more grace. The Bible says in James that he, God, gives more grace, or literally you could say he gives a greater grace.
Right.
For he says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So this man humbles himself in front of Jesus and says, Lord Jesus, listen, I believe, but help my unbelief. Man, I know many people in the Word of Faith camp that they would never, ever admit that they were dealing with any unbelief.
Right.
What is that? That's works. That's you trying to do it in and of yourself. But this man humbles himself. He says, Lord, I believe, help. There's grace and faith right there. I believe, but help this part of unbelief I have in my heart. And so what is this man focused on? Is this man focused on his faith? No, he's focused on the grace that Jesus has to help me with this part that I'm lacking, but he still believed. I know it's kind of like a mind-blowing thing when you think about it, but that's just how it is. It's a focusing on Jesus. Well, what did he say in Hebrews? Hebrews 12. He says, we have these great cloud of witnesses. Let's lay aside the weight, the sin that so easily besets us. Let's run with endurance the race set before us. How do we do it, though? Looking unto Jesus.
Yep.
The author and the finisher of our faith. We're only going to do this race and run it successfully when we look at Jesus. But we've got too many people looking at faith formulas.
Right.
And they're getting caught up in these works. They're getting caught up in doing it in and of themselves. And this is an example I'll do, and then I'll be done. I'll turn it over to Brother Matthew to say whatever he's getting. I know he's getting some good stuff to say. But in Matthew 5, deals with the woman with the issue of blood. And what we're talking about here is when we see Jesus in his grace, he sees us in our faith. In Mark 5, 25 through 29 says, a certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years. We're familiar with that. The Bible says she heard about Jesus. She came behind in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. Mm-hmm. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. That's Matthew 5, 25 through 29. What do we see here with this woman with the issue of blood? She heard about Jesus. Well, we know faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But here's what I gotta always want to tell people, because like I said, we get caught up in faith formulas, this, that, and the third. Nothing wrong with that at all. But here's what I gotta remind people. This lady, she's never heard of Andrew Womack.
Right.
This lady, she's never heard of Kenneth Hagin. She's never heard of Keith Moore, Jeremy Pierce's. She doesn't know who these people are. She hasn't heard Kenneth Copeland. She ain't heard none of this. Yeah. Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin Sr., his ministry, he preached Mark 5 all the time. And talking about all these steps that she did to receive, he breaks down all these steps that she did. But she didn't have all that. What did she have? She had knowledge about Jesus.
Yep.
She heard about Jesus. She simply heard about Jesus. And she had faith, but watch this. It was an unconscious faith.
Mm-hmm.
It was done out of this place of, man, I heard that he's good. I heard that he's loving. I heard that he never casts anyone away that'll come to him. So she, in that place, in that faith, in grace, she could stand and have access to the healing that was provided in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'll read this verse here to back up what I'm saying. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access, watch this, by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God. So when we see Jesus in his grace, just how gracious he is, how he's provided everything, he's done everything, how God has done it in him. When we see him in our grace, he will turn and say, what did he say to the woman with the issue of blood? Woman, your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
But watch this. There's no place in scripture that you can point out where the leper said, man, my faith made me whole.
Nope.
There's not one scripture. But there are many scriptures where Jesus turned and said to the person, your faith made you whole. What is this? When we see Jesus and how gracious he is, when we see him in his grace, he'll see us in our faith. Go ahead, Brother Matthew.
Oh, yeah. And just to back that up, too, because I know many people who struggle with receiving, like the woman with the blood issue and like any leper that was in scripture. You can see that they were healed. And like you said, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. But you have people today who are believing for healing, but you know what they're believing? They believe that Jesus can heal, but they don't know if he will. And the answer to those questions is found in Matthew chapter 8. And it says, when he had come down, he being Jesus, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. You see, he answered the question that millions of people are asking today. God, I know you can heal me, but will you? Jesus answered that 2,000 years ago when he said, I'm willing, be cleaned, be healed. And when you understand this, your faith will now make you healed. Because that's God's, that's his grace right there. And you said from Romans chapter 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, let's rearrange those words a little bit. Faith comes by hearing. And what's the word of God? John says that the word became flesh. The word was Jesus. Jesus is grace. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the what? The grace of God. Yeah, and when you hear the grace of God, just like by grace through faith, are you saved? The word saved doesn't just only mean salvation. It's the Greek word sozo. And that is all encompassing of salvation. It means your sins are cleansed. You're saved from hell. You're saved from destruction. You're saved from death, saved from sicknesses. All of those things are encompassed in that word saved. So by grace, faith comes by hearing, by the word of God. By grace are you saved through faith. It's so important that we get this in our mind.
Oh, that's so good.
One of the things, I have a book out. It's called Is God Out to Get Me? And I just gave you a copy. I totally forgot. Mm-hmm.
I just gave you a copy.
But for those of you listening, it's a book trying to teach people the true nature of God, the true character of who God is, because there's a distortion of who God is. Like I said, people think that God can heal, but will he heal? That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, I talk about the character Job. I love Job so much with all my heart. I just preached on him for a couple weekends ago here on our Sunday service. But something that I wrote in that book is in Job chapter 1, where Job says, "The Lord gives and the Lord has taken away." Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have that mentality still. After Job was afflicted, all of his things were taken from him. His health was degenerating. His family was killed. His property was destroyed. He says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Naked have I come in, naked will I come out." And he has this sorrowful attitude. But what we don't realize is that Job, most likely from studies and what people think, and I've done some research and I'm pretty confident that Job did not live before Abraham. If he did, he lived at the same time as Abraham, but that means there is no covenant. He had no mm-hmm. Abrahamic covenant. There was no, "I will mm-hmm. bless you. Your people will be a blessing." None of that.
Yeah.
So Job was basically, he was subject to Satan and death, because Satan was the ruler of the world at that point. And people have that mentality of the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But when you understand that that's Old Testament, we're New Testament. The only thing the Lord gives and takes away is he gives blessings and he takes away curses. That's what he gives and takes away now. And if we understand that, well, then we can now have faith in everything that Jesus did in scripture. Every good and precious gift that comes from above is for us. And if you're being passive, you're not going to receive those things. You gotta stand in faith at this point. Accept grace and stand in faith and receive your miracle.
Oh, so true. So good. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You know, as we finish up here, Acts 20, verse 32, it just goes right into what Brother Matthew was talking about. You could translate that: faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the gospel of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says here, what is the anointed word? It says it here in the literal translation. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the anointed word, the anointed word about Christ.
Right.
What he's done. It's all about him. It's not about you and your confession. What gives your confession power is when you realize that he's already done it for me.
Yeah.
And you're doing it, you're making confession out of a place of rest. Here's a question you need to ask yourself often: am I working for it or am I resting in it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question you need to ask yourself often. Am I working for it or am I resting in it? He says here in Acts 20, verse 32, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." He's talking about, he calls the gospel the word of grace.
Yep.
The word of grace. In Romans 10, it's called the word of faith.
The faith.
So we see it here, man. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah.
It's this interchangeable thing. It's grace and faith. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel that produces faith.
Yep.
It produces a faith in God. The grace of God tells you what God has already done in Jesus.
Yep.
And your faith simply says, "I believe it."
Yep.
It's so. It's mine. Not based on what I've done, but based solely on what God did in Jesus. What they did together, and what Jesus did, and what Holy Spirit did when he came, and he's here on the earth with us to help us. That's the grace of God that's present with your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit who's in us, his leading us, him guiding us. But what we're saying here is, hear about grace. Hear this message of grace, which is also the message of faith. You can't have one without the other.
Yep.
To balance it out is to have both. And like I said, when you see Jesus in his grace, he'll see you in your faith. Listen, the faith you got, that ain't even your faith. That's his faith. So even the faith is a grace gift. All of this has to do with grace. This is why Paul said we always triumph. This is why Paul said, "Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, who gives us the victory." Why? Because he gave it to us through Jesus. We could say it like this and we wouldn't be wrong. It's been given to us through grace, because that's who Jesus is. This victory has been given to us through grace. Once you see Jesus in his grace for you, he will see you in your faith. Your faith is not for you to see. Your faith is for him to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna run that back. That's pretty good. I like that myself. Your faith isn't for you to see. Your faith is for him to see.
Amen.
When he sees it, see, because that's where people get off. And like I said, we're wrapping it up. We can get all into another little podcast right here. But that's where people get off with this thing. Like, they want people to see that they're in faith.
Right.
So I'm going to throw these glasses away so people can see that I'm in faith. Your faith is not for them, for other people to see.
Yeah.
Your faith is for him to see. The Bible didn't say that when they tore the roof down that everybody saw their faith. No, it says Jesus saw their faith.
Yeah.
That's who's important that sees your faith. It's Jesus. But he'll only see that faith when you see him in his grace.
Amen.
Brother Matthew, as we wrap it up, you got anything else you want to add to that?
If I do, I'm going to keep going. I won't stop. The only thing I might want to add is the scripture says that the promises of God are yes and amen. And I like to say the promises of God are yes, here you go, have it. And we respond with amen, so let it be. And that's how we got to receive in life is we got to believe first that the promises are given to us, that God said, yes, here is the gift. It also says that the gifts and callings of God are without revoke or without repentance. You can't, you can't take them back. So we got to believe that every good gift is for you and you receive it by saying, amen, so let it be. All right, let me have it. If you told me that you're coming over to our building right now and I said, okay, great, see you there. But I leave my front door locked, I don't receive you. I can't receive you unless I do something to receive you. You told me that you're coming, so I believe you're coming. So I'm going to open my front door to let you in. But if you leave it locked, you're not going to receive anything. And that's what we got to do. We got to say amen. And once you say amen, you got to walk it like you talk it. If you say, I believe that I'm healed, then show me you're healed. Let's do it. Let's see it. Show the Lord that you're healed.
And, come on, man.
Every good gift comes from the Lord, and we got to recognize that John 10:10, that the enemy comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life abundant. And that word abundant is translated to super abundant, over and beyond, overflowing in your life. And if anything in your life is not super super abundant, it's not from God. That's all I got to say. And I think I'll leave it there, or else I'll keep going.
No, that's good. Mic drop. Well, but we'll have Brother Matthew back on. This isn't the last time. It's just the first time. And so I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what the Lord has for us. But this is important. See Jesus in his grace. See him in his grace. See him in what he's done for you. And when you do that, he'll see you in your faith. Why?
Right.
Because the mere fact that you're focused on what he's done and you're being encouraged by it shows him that you actually believe it.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It literally shows him that because you're meditating on it, because you're musing, you're getting it in you, you're getting it in your heart, you're becoming rooted and grounded in the love he has for you. That's how he sees it. And that's what shows it to him. Brother Matthew, will you pray over us as we wrap this up?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Father God, we just thank you for this time that we had together. God, I thank you for my good brother here, Elijah, and I pray that whatever he does, whatever he sets his hands towards, Father, it will prosper. And everyone thank listening you, Lord. To the podcast, Lord, I pray that their ears were open to hear. Even though I'm praying at the end, I believe that before this even started, that their ears are open to you, their heart is ready to receive what you have to give to them, and their eyes can see your truth for what it is, Father. So we thank you for this time. We bless this podcast. We bless every listener who's listening. And again, bless Brother Elijah for he's doing amazing things for the Lord. We thank you for this time. We love you. We praise you. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, leave a like, a rating, a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know that the podcast is blessing you. My name's Elijah Merle. And remember this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Thank you for listening to the Greater Than Podcast. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at merleministries.com. That's M-U-R-R-E-L-L ministries.com. Merle Ministries International.